strategies that are regenerative or that use permaculture design? Because to me, permaculture introduction course that was specific for artists and creatives and people working in the cultural sector.
Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. My name is Cormac Harkin and today I'm delighted to welcome on Liz Postlethwaite. Welcome, Liz.
Hi, Cormac. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. Could you just give the audience a quick introduction, just a very short one?
To myself. So my name is Liz Postlethwaite. I'm I'll tell you a bit about my take on permaculture, I'm sure, within this call, but I'm a participatory artist and I'm based in North Manchester in England.
So tell us about your introduction to permaculture. We ask all our guests when they first heard of it.
Yeah, so when I first came to permaculture, so I guess I first heard about permaculture maybe about 15 years ago, something like that. And I can't remember exactly when I heard about it, maybe through Permaculture magazine or something like that. But it was something that I came to through an interest in gardening and growing, I guess. I had an allotment and I had a garden, and that was my initial draw, or what initially appealed to me was an interest in gardening and growing. And that's kind of what I thought that permaculture was at that point. I know it's a lot more than that now. And from that initial interest, I did a permaculture design course, like a lot of people did. And I did that 12 years ago with Angus Sutar, who's a brilliant permaculture designer and facilitator based in Lancashire.
So tell us about the PDC. What was that like?
It was great. I mean, I always, as for a lot of people, it was a bit of an eye opener and a bit of a life changing experience, really. I always found it quite hard to. I wanted to do a PDC for quite a while, but I couldn't do them because they were quite expensive. Or they required you to go away somewhere for 2 weeks, and that I could never fit that in with work patterns and things at that time. And Angus did a PDC where it was up in Lancaster, which is north of where I am, and it was one Saturday a month for a year, and that really worked for me. So I used to go up to Lancaster every month over a year, and it was really fantastic, this kind of cumulative learning experience over a year. But I think this, as is true for a lot of people, when I did my permaculture design course, it was kind of like this feeling, oh, this is what I've always been thinking, this is what I've always felt. And suddenly you're in a group of people who are kind of feeling loosely the same way how you might be feeling about the world and the climate and the kind of problems that we've got with ecology. And then you, through the permaculture design course, you discover this set of tools and this shared language that can help you communicate those things or make things the way you want them to be. And I think the big revelation for me around the permaculture design course was, so as I said, I came to permaculture design because I wanted to design a garden and an allotment. And I did my permaculture design course and I realized that you can use permaculture design to design anything. And then suddenly, wow, you know, that there's this set of tools that are really accessible and they belong to everybody. So anybody can use them. They're not, you don't have to have a special qualification to use them. They're kind of open source. And these tools are connected to this really diverse and dynamic community of people who you can collaborate with and do things with. So yeah, I was very inspired. And then my permaculture design course, I signed up and I did a diploma in permaculture design. And I don't know whether that's another question or whether you want me to tell you a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's good. No, it's because the format of the PDC, there's a lot of different formats out there. Mine was online, 100%.
Yeah.
You say some are 2 weeks. The the reason I did it was the same as you. I couldn't go away for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So a Saturday a month would have been great, just to sort of find that tribe, local tribe as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, I think there's so many different options to do PDCs now, and, you know, you can be part of different communities and you can do them in different ways. But yeah, my PDC was probably quite a traditional PDC. I know there's vegan PDCs and social kind of social permaculture PDCs, and actually now I run a PDC for artists and creatives. But my PDC was probably quite a traditional PDC, and Angus as a permaculture designer has a real history and connection direct connection with Bill Mollison and some of the kind of original thinkers around permaculture design. But yeah, it was, I don't know anyone who's done a PDC and it hasn't been quite a eye-opener for them, or just something really exciting and something that is a kind of pivot point. And I don't think, yeah, the content of it, I don't think is necessarily a revelation if you've signed up to do it. But I think what was a revelation to me was that other people felt the same way about things, or that other people had the same aspirations to do things, I guess.
Yeah, for mine at the start, he says, you never look at everything, things again the same. And I was like, all right, what are you talking rubbish? And then, true, you start looking at things differently.
Yeah, and I'm just, I'm convening this PDC at the moment, this design course for artists, and we're a third of the way through. And we did and that's an online course, and we meet twice a month online. And after our session, which marked a third, we did like a kind of reflection about where we felt we were at with the course. And one of the participants said, I just feel like, she said, you know, when you're tidying the house and you've got a drawer that's a bit messy and you empty everything out, she said, I feel like the course has emptied everything out of the drawer. And it just is like recalibrating things and putting things into a different order and helping me communicate things more effectively. And I think permaculture design and a permaculture design course, because permaculture is a set of tools, right? It's a set of tools to make stuff. So it's not just about aspiration. It's about ideas, and it's very proactive. And it's about suddenly having access to this set of tools that can help you make things and do things and create things and all sorts of exciting things.
I will circle back. The PDC for artists, a minute. If we just go back to the diploma, so for likes of myself, I've got a PDC, but I don't have a diploma. Would you advise doing the diploma?
So yes and no. It does depend. So there's two different things. So the first thing, my story of my diploma was that I was really excited by the PDC. So I signed up for a diploma, and then basically I did nothing for 10 years, because actually what I was excited about was about permaculture design and about designing things. And I thought the diploma would be the next natural step. And actually it wasn't, in lots of different ways. And my diploma really came together during COVID, and the Permaculture Association was changing the system, the admin system and the accreditation system. So people like me, who'd been like loitering on the permaculture diploma for ages, we either had to change over to the new diploma or stop. And changing over to the new diploma would have involved a little bit of a hassle. And I thought, actually, this has to be the motivation that I'm either really going to do the diploma or I'm just going to stop and not do it at all. So then the thing about the diploma is that the diploma is self-motivated. You have to find that motivation yourself. And actually, that's quite difficult. We all know that if you're doing stuff yourself, it can be quite hard to find that motivation. And the motivation for me was that So it was one thing that I had to finish it, or I would have had to go through some boring admin, which is always a good motivator. But also, like, within my life, I kind of was involved in activism around climate and the ecological crisis, and I was a participatory artist. And most of my artistic practice at that time was about dementia and working with older people, which was amazing, but I'd done that work for ages. And what I wanted to do was I wanted my activism and my creative practice to come together. So I used the diploma portfolio as a space within which to do that. And I did. And now I teach permaculture and I convene courses and I work with organizations to help them use permaculture to become more regenerative. But your question, should you do a diploma? What I love about permaculture is that you can be an amazing permaculture a permaculture designer and have never done a PDC or never done a diploma. And that's fine. And I love that there isn't a hierarchy in that sense, that anyone can be a really good permaculture diploma. But what I think is why I think the diploma is anyone can be a good permaculture designer. Why I think the diploma is important is because the diploma is like peer-to-peer recognition of best practice in permaculture design. So it's about saying, not only do I want to be a permaculture designer, but I want to create a portfolio of designs which are exemplary or good examples of what permaculture design might be. And those are going to be assessed by other people. And also the permaculture design diploma is an invitation to push your design into places that you might not have done otherwise. So that person who might be a really good permaculture designer, often what you find is that they're a really good permaculture designer, but they just design one thing. So they design a forest garden, or they design a certain sort of garden, or they design within a comfort zone. And I think the diploma is a really good space to push your design out of a comfort zone and to be part of a community. And as a global community, I think the diploma, permaculture diploma, is a really good way of kind of advocacy for best practice. What best practice, that's not the right word, but what really great permaculture design can look like in terms of the process, in terms of the designs that are created, but also in terms of how we might share those designs as well, to advocate for why permaculture is so amazing.
Right. So it's sort of like a benchmark to say, well, I've done a certain amount of work and it's been approved by my peers.
Yeah. It's about, for me, because I'm now a diploma tutor, and being a diploma tutor is amazing, but you don't do it for the money, I wouldn't say, because there's a lot involved in it. But the reason I'm really committed to the diploma is because it really allows. So to me, in your PDC, you learn a set of tools, and in the diploma, you really become proficient at using those tools in a wide range of situations. So that's why I feel really excited about the diploma and committed to it, because I feel it's a space that really pushes the edge of permaculture design, both as a sector or as a thing, but also in an individual's capacity in terms of what we might design or what we might do using permaculture design.
Yeah, that's very good. So let's go back now and fill in the gap between your PDC. So you enrolled in the diploma, you parked it, and then what did you do then with your permaculture, your PDC, and how did you bring that under the art and then under your what you do every day?
Yeah, I don't think I was really. So I was designing my garden and doing bits of design like that, but I don't think I really was, and I was maybe I knew I wanted to, and I knew I wanted to move it into different spheres, but I wasn't quite sure how to do that. And then you have life, and you know, you have a job and you have a house and you've got a family and all of these different things. I don't think I was quite sure. Like, I'm not a garden designer, you know, I'm not a garden designer, and I don't have a farm or a small holding or so. And sometimes I think if you don't have land, it can feel like permaculture is for people who have land. And I know that's not true. You know, that's not true. So I suppose the click point for me was, I had a garden and I designed my garden using permaculture design, and I still had my allotment. Was that moment where I managed to bring those things together and start using permaculture design in project design, in project management, in community engagement. Another thing was that I live where I live is quite urban, and near my house is a wild space. And I set up a friends group for that space. And that's like public, it's a woodland, it's a big site, it's a 100-acre site. And then suddenly I had a space, a shared space that I could do some design work in as well. So that was a really good space for me and actually that space was really key to my portfolio, my diploma portfolio, about different designs that I created in that space as well.
So you
got I a, would say
sorry did you get a small space on there to design, and what were you designing?
Because I don't know what it's like in places where other folk are, but here in the UK, here in England, we've had a government who've decimated public services, councils don't have money to look after parks anymore, and they don't have money to look after green spaces. So as a group of local people, we came together and said, actually, we're going to manage this space. So the whole site, I did designs across the whole site, lots of different designs. I did a design about the site was really derelict, and there was a lot of antisocial behaviour. And so I did a design, working with the group of volunteers, which was like an action plan. So it was using permaculture design to come up with a clear strategy for how we might manage that space. And one of the things on that strategy was we wanted to become a nature reserve. Just become one, so that's really
well done.
Then I did another design about, and we've got loads of Japanese knotweed, giant hogweed, Himalayan balsam. So I did another design which was like a management plan for invasive species on the site. I did a design which was a design around creating a community space and public engagement. So suddenly the site became a really good focus for lots of different design work. And then as I was using design work in that space, I started to understand more how, oh, well, that public engagement plan that I did there, I could be working with organisations within my sector using those tools to help them make engagement plans and strategies that are regenerative or that use permaculture design. Because to me, permaculture design is a set of tools to make regenerative things. And you can make a regenerative garden, or you can make a regenerative farm, but we know that everything needs to be regenerative. So for me, my sector is the cultural sector. So what does a regenerative art gallery look like? What does a regenerative theatre look like? What does a regenerative arts organisation look like? So that work in that green space helped me understand how I could almost like hack tools that are landscape tools and use them to make other things, if that makes sense. So to make things that might not be what those tools were typically or originally intended for.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. You're using the tools which to me is it's about. It's the design tools, which we use in the garden, but you can use in your life. How was that received, and how did you take the people in your sector along with you? Did you have to struggle too much?
Well, so what happened was when I did, to say, did I have to take the people in the sector? I've worked with like really a relatively small number of people from this whole world. But so when I did my diploma, my final design was a design about next steps after the diploma. And one of the things that I said I wanted to do was to create an introduction to permaculture. So a 2-day permaculture introduction course that was specific for artists and creatives and people working in the cultural sector. And I thought that I would do that course once. And last year, it was almost 300 people participated in that course. So then from that course, those people all work in organisations. So then suddenly people contact you and say, oh, well, I participated on that course and it was really amazing. And my organisation wants to think about this. So can you come and do that course, but for our team? Or can you come and do this element of that course? And then from that course, after I'd done the introduction course, I was like, wouldn't it be good if there was a permaculture design course for artists as well? And then because you've had hundreds of people do the introduction course, you've got a ready-made audience of people who want to do a permaculture design course. And I think, I mean, I don't know what you think, Cormac, but I think if now is not permaculture's time, like, when's it going to be, really? You know, if the world isn't crying out for it now, and if we aren't going to, if we as practitioners are not really going to push and advocate for it, then when the heck are we going to do it? So actually what I've found is that people want it, and but in the same way, I did my PDC and I was like, oh yeah, permaculture can do that for me. People in other sectors feel that as well. So I think there's an openness from people to want to be more regenerative and to want to live more respectfully and to want to live differently, but they're not quite sure how to do it. And if you say, actually, I've got an idea how you might do it and I might be able to help you do that, then there's a willingness and an interest and a demand for that, I think.
Yeah, I've spoken to a few different people, and sometimes the theme is drop the permaculture bit and offer the solutions, and then say at the end, oh, by the way, it's permaculture.
Yeah, I mean, I know people say that, but I'm really honest about... So what I think, for me, so there's two different things that we're talking about. We're talking about permaculture. Now, permaculture is quite a sticky word, isn't it? Because, like, what does it actually mean? And actually, all permaculture means is regenerative things. So permaculture is just another way of talking about regenerative things, really. But permaculture design is something quite specific and quite unique. So the way that I think is really, really nice way to articulate it is that we want to make regenerative things, and there's lots of ways that you can do that, but I personally haven't found a better set of tools than permaculture design to do it. And I don't feel embarrassed about saying that, but I do often use the word, I think, when people say permaculture as a thing, as a noun, it feels a bit like, oh, what, you know, what is that? What does that mean? Whereas permaculture design is a set of tools, like joinery is a set of tools, or being an electrician is a set of tools. So there's lots of ways you can make regenerative things. And what I'm interested in advocating for, is why I think permaculture design is one of the best ways to do it, for lots of different reasons, because it's accessible and anyone can use it and it's tried and tested and it works. So, yeah, and also the reason I don't stop using permaculture as well is because if It's a word that brings us together because it's a shared understanding. You know, there's something shared in that like community of craft and community of practice, which to me is essentially what permaculture design is. It's like a community of shared craftsmanship or shared tools or shared skill, which might be used in lots of different ways.
Yeah, well, brings back your earlier point of the social permaculture, the vegan permaculture. It brings all these things together. It's the one thing that ties them all. So for your PDC for artists, is it?
Yeah.
So what's different on that PDC than a normal PDC?
So obviously a PDC, wherever you do a PDC in the world, there's like a set core curriculum. And there's certain things that will be covered in every PDC. Certain things that you might look at about soil or trees or, you know, different things about kind of deepening our understanding of ecology and deepening our understanding of the natural world and our relationships to the natural world. So in that respect, I think that's the same. But that would be the same on most permaculture design courses. I think what's really different about the course is, I think there's two things that are different. The first is that that what I'm interested in is how artists and creative people can use those tools and that learning to make their practice and their life and their organizations more regenerative. So most of them are not designing gardens. They might be designing arts projects or exhibitions or public engagement programs. So that's one thing that I think is very different about it. The second thing is that just artists being in a room together is a really rich, creative, imaginative space. And I think that having artists as part of that conversation brings a different perspective in terms of possibility and imagination. And I think for me, a lot of permaculture is about these edges and about the abundance and diversity that happens at the edge. And a lot of creative arts practice is about the edge. It's about pushing the edge and pushing boundaries and working in marginal spaces. So there's this really fruitful an exciting crossover between this permaculture edge and this edge of creative practice. And I think what's really interesting and exciting as well is that there's a lot. So you've got this edge where these two things are meeting, and there's a lot that artists and creatives can learn in terms of systems thinking and ecology and nature and the natural world, but there's a lot the world of permaculture can learn from artists as well about like how we tell stories and creativity and participation and imagination and all of these kind of things. And for me, some of those things are maybe things that are lacking sometimes in permaculture in terms of how we present what we do or how we talk about what we do or how we push our work or our design work in terms of imagination or creativity or those kind of realms, I guess.
You touched on the next two questions there. What the next question was going to be, what the artists bring to the course and their perspective. Is there anything that like one particular thing that stands out that artists bring? You mentioned storytelling there. Is there anything we could, as permaculture practitioners, put on the practice?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel that. So art is a, like, why do we make art? And art, I think as artists, as creative people, there's a real willingness. Often art is about understanding grey areas or stepping into grey areas or about the space that exists between us and about better articulating or better understanding that space. And permaculture design is about understanding the relationships between things and better understanding beneficial relationships. And as an artist, I think all conversations are better if you've got creative people in those conversations, because they are able to see things more easily from a different perspective. Or every time I do a permaculture course or engage in a creative space with a group of artists talking about permaculture design or permaculture, someone says something that blows my mind, because artists are good at communicating because that's what they do, and communicating in an open and generous and sometimes quite vulnerable way. So sometimes as well, I feel like artists are good at telling stories in lots of different ways. And sometimes I look at documentation for different permaculture projects, and I know about permaculture and I know about the project, and I'm just bored to tears by what I'm reading or what I'm looking at. And I think we as practitioners could learn a lot about just storytelling and about how we tell the story, and how telling the story advocates for what we do. Because as humans, stories are the way that we understand the world. And yeah, so I think that's it for me.
So for me, how could I learn about that kind of thing, about storytelling, about, where would you recommend to go to try and get better at that?
I think it's about, like, when we collaborate, I mean, obviously you could do one of my courses, Cormac, but no. I think when we collaborate, it's about, like, so when we look at the diversity of the teams that you're working with, and if you want to tell a story about your project, or want to tell a story about what you're doing, then how you might do that, and whether that's something that you can do or whether it's something that you might bring someone else on board to do. But yeah, I just feel, you know, people are design work is like the story of a journey, isn't it? It's the story of getting from A to B, and it's the story of a journey that someone's gone on, or of a process that someone has gone on. And I think as permaculture designers, we shouldn't be modest about sharing that with people, you know, in terms of that journey of place, or that journey of a project, or that journey of something that's being created, I guess.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular? You said you've 300 artists through there, you've gone in the different various sector or companies. Is there anything that in particular stand out that they really go as sort of consistently wow about permaculture when they're introduced to it?
So there's two things that there's two things that I think are really good catalysts for people. So one thing that I always think is really interesting is the difference between extractive, sustainable, and regenerative. And permaculture is about making regenerative things. Permaculture design is about making regenerative things. So in order to make regenerative things, or to be able to make regenerative things, then we have to understand what we mean by regenerative. Like, what does that actually mean? And a really good way to understand it is by talking about what extractive is. And we live as part of an extractive culture. Capitalism is extractive. Our lives on the whole are extractive. And then as soon as people understand extractive and have an idea of regenerative, they understand why sustainability is dead. Because A, sustainability is not possible on a really degraded planet, and we live on a really degraded planet. And because what are you trying to sustain? Like, actually, what are you trying to sustain? So moving from a mindset of sustainability to regeneration or regenerative, and resilience as well, because I think that's really important too. When you look at, if we were having these conversations 20 years ago, you could have just talked about regenerative. But we know that the planet and our climate is in real problems, and we're in for a rocky ride. So resilience is just as important within that conversation as regenerative. But resilience in relation to regenerative is very different than resilience in relation to extractive and sustainable. So that's always a thing that just, because once you understand about regenerative and about your part as one, and then you're just one part of a regenerative system, that just moves, that just blow it. You can't look at the world the same anymore. And then the second thing that I think is really powerful for people is the permaculture ethics: earth care, people care, and fair share or future care, whichever one you decide to use. Because everything in permaculture is movable and changing and shifting. Permaculture design, we change the tools we use. There's multiple sets of permaculture principles. But the permaculture ethics are a beating heart that doesn't change. And they sit there at the heart of permaculture design and guide us non-judgmentally and help us make decisions and help us do regenerative things. So I think if people just go away from a course with the permaculture ethics and this sense of regenerative and an urge towards the regenerative, I think that's very powerful for them. And I think what's really interesting as well is that, so we know that most of the things being advocated by permaculture design are not new. They're the things that sit at the heart of indigenous cultures and ancient cultures, and they're the ways that non-industrial communities have always lived on the planet. And permaculture design and those ethics help us as people within an industrialized society to start to move to more towards ways which are more aligned with indigenous traditions in a way that doesn't colonize cultures that don't belong to us, because it's not our place it's not our place to steal things. It's not our place to take things and say they're ours. It's our place in industrialized society to start rebuilding and recalibrating and rediscovering our own roots and our own histories and our own stories. And I think permaculture design helps people do that. And in their simplicity, those three permaculture ethics, they're so powerful. And when people first hear the permaculture ethics, they go, what's so radical about them? But actually, if you get up tomorrow and use them as a lens on everything you do, well, you probably wouldn't. Would you get in the car if you really thought about earth care? Would you book a cheap flight somewhere? Would you, you know, if you were thinking about fair share, really thinking about it, would you buy fast fashion? Do you know what I mean? So I think the ethics are very powerful. And even from a very short course, the ethics become part of people's personal vernacular. And that's very exciting and very powerful, I think.
Yeah, it's a big shift. I've heard a few people now talking about the colonization and decolonization of permaculture. I'm not quite sure I fully understand it. but I'm yet to be educated. And the resilience piece as well. I always think that the climate is changing fast, but we've lost our resilience in it because we've destroyed the trees, we've destroyed habitats, you know, the mangroves, the plastic in the sea. We've wrecked everything, and that resilience is a lot weaker.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, there's a lot of really interesting, there's a really amazing permaculture designer called Sarah Quebleton, who's from the Philippines, and she's done a lot of really brilliant work. She calls it Principle Zero, which is kind of talking really strongly about kind of colonization and decolonization and she can speak more eloquently about it than I can speak about it. So if that's something that people are interested in, I would recommend her as a brilliant starting point. You know, she's working on the front line with people whose lives are directly impacted really critically by the climate crisis, but have had very little, quite a low impact themselves, and they're the people who are facing these catastrophes. So she's doing really amazing work through an organization called the Green Relief Initiative, which is about using permaculture design within really climate threatened communities, and then weaving in indigenous knowledge and indigenous expertise from within that. So I think it's really, really interesting. But I think what's really powerful to me about the permaculture ethics is, you know, so people look at a forest garden and they say, oh, well, it's a permaculture garden. Is a forest garden a permaculture garden? Well, no, not necessarily. You know, and for me, the ethics is what is the big difference between permaculture and biomimicry, that permaculture is about ethical thinking, and it's about ethical thinking at the heart of design. And Nike use biomimicry and they don't use permaculture design, because Nike might say, or any other you know, big corporation might say, oh well, we've designed a shoe and it's inspired by a leaf and it's waterproof based on how a leaf is waterproof, but the shoe is made by children who aren't paid properly, and it's made out of plastic and it has a massive environmental impact. So that's why the ethics are so powerful, because they're a lens that you can hold up against things. So if you then go back to a forest garden and you say, well, is a forest garden a permaculture garden? Well, if no one's been paid who's helped make it, then probably not to me. Or if the materials that are used are really not ethical materials, then it's probably not a permaculture garden either to me.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. So what's next for you, Liz? What's the plans for the future?
Well, we're halfway through the first permaculture design course for artists and creatives, and that's going to be running again next year. So we've already got pretty much got a cohort of participants who are going to do that next year, and I'm doing some really interesting work with different arts organizations and kind of community organizations, kind of as a critical friend with them, really helping them explore how they might use permaculture design within their own work. And then from my own practice as an artist, I'm really interested in time and ritual and the weather and ecology. And then I suppose it's kind of about how, I don't know how it will, but how that, my explorations within my creative practice will then inform my permaculture practice, I guess. Don't know how, watch this space.
And for anyone out there who's interested in getting in touch with you, what kind of, how can they work with you if they're in that sector?
Yeah, so my company's called smallthings.org.uk is our website. And yeah, even I convene a monthly, just an open space for people who are interested in art, permaculture, and imagination. And so if people go to the website, that's a really good starting point to engage. But if you go to the smallthings.org.uk, they can see all the different courses, all the different ways that folk can get involved and get engaged with the work that I'm doing.
And is that in person or online?
That's online. Got people from all over the world. It's fantastic. And it's just, I feel as permaculture practitioners, so much of our work is about, should be now in this time, about building community, which is what you're doing with this podcast, and about kind of how we build community and how permaculture is about building beneficial relationships, and how do we build beneficial relationships between each other so that we can do what we do better, and we can do it more, and we can do it more quickly. And for me, that it's called Creative Roots, that's a really kind of starting point of how I do that, building those relationships. But if folk are interested, just pop over to my website and it'll be lovely to see you there.
That's great. Great place to end. Liz, thanks very much.
Well, Mac, thank you so much for having me. It's been fantastic.
And so I keep forgetting this. Give us a like, a thumbs up, and a comment below as well. If you can, help us spread the word and showcase these all these great people working in different industries, but still working in permaculture. And as well, there's a link in the description below if you go to findpermaculture.com, PDC2Pro, and you'll see details about our upcoming course, taking you how from a PDC graduate to professional, teaching you digital design and client communications and a few other things as well. Liz, thank you very much.
Well, Matt, thank you.
And I'll see you guys next week. Thanks.